إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Wasiti, Al-Aqidah Tahawiyah of Imam Abu Ja'far Al-Tahawi with the explanation of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah. And with regard to what we had last week, then who can remember with regard to the statement that we do not declare, the people of the Sunnah do not declare a Muslim to be an unbeliever because of a sin, as long as what? With two qualifications. As long as what? With what qualification is that the case? We don't declare a Muslim to be an unbeliever because of sin. As long as he doesn't hold it as permissible for himself, he doesn't deem it to be permissible to commit that sin. Because if he deems something forbidden to be permissible, then he becomes an unbeliever. And also, as long as what? As long as the sin itself is not what?
Less than shirk.
Yeah. As long as the sin is not kufr, unbelief, or shirk. As long as the sin is not something that causes a person who does it to become an apostate, to leave Islam. With regard to the ayah that was mentioned from Surah At-Tawbah about the people of the book, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th Surah, ayah 31. What's the explanation of how they took their rabbis and their monks as Lord, as being lords besides Allah? What is the correct explanation of that ayah?
Because they used to obey the priests with what is haram and what is halal. The priests used to make things that are halal, used to make haram, and things that are haram, used to make halal.
Yeah.
And the people obey that.
That no doubt, as the brother said, that their monks and their rabbis, they used to make things which were forbidden, which Allah had forbidden. They used to make the things lawful for the people. And they used to make things which were lawful, forbidden for the people. And the people accepted that from them and followed them upon that. So that was their taking their priests and their rabbis as lords besides Allah. How do we know that that is the correct explanation of the ayah? How do we know that? I'll put another way, what's the evidence for that explanation?
There's a hadith of Adi ibn Abi Hatim, where he asked Prophet about this ayah.
Yeah.
And Prophet replied something like, the explanation that I gave, basically, when they took something that was halal and they made it haram, and the people followed them in that, and they took something that Allah made haram and they made it halal, and the people followed them in that.
No. As the brother mentioned, the evidence is the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim, reported by Tirmidhi, the authentic hadith. Hadith that Sheikh Albani declared Hassan, good, reported by Tirmidhi, which gives that explanation, that Adi ibn Hatim mentioned, obviously Adi ibn Hatim, before Islam, he was a Christian. So he mentioned that we don't worship them. We hadn't used to worship them. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, they had not used to worship them, meaning they didn't directly take them as objects of worship. Rather, when they declared things lawful for them, the rabbis and the monks, when they made things lawful for them, the people took them as being lawful. And when they made things forbidden for them, the people took them as being forbidden. So that is their taking their rabbis and monks as lords besides Allah. We had a point about the murji'a. What effect do the murji'ah say that sins have upon iman? What kind of effect do the Murji'a say sins have upon a person's iman? As the brother said, the Murji'a, the deviant sect, the Murji'a, they say that sins do not harm iman. Once a person has iman, with what they define as iman, which comes in today's lesson, that when a person has iman, that sins do not harm his iman. And they say a person's iman stays the same, stays, when you've got iman, you've got the same iman as anybody else has got. Even the same iman as Abu Bakr, or the same iman as Jibreel. And that sins will not harm it. We had a point as well with regard to statements that so-and-so is in paradise or so-and-so is in the fire. Then what is the position of the people of the Sunnah with regard to stating that individuals are in paradise or in the fire? Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. Yeah. That we only do that in the light of an authentic text. Those we find mentioned by name in authentic texts, that they are individuals in the paradise or in the fire, then we state that. Otherwise, we keep quiet about it. And we make the general statement that the believers are in paradise and the unbelievers are in the fire. As a general statement, general overall statement, that's what we say. But as for individuals, then we only mention individual, this individual is in paradise or this individual is in the fire, in accordance with the authentic text of the book or the Sunnah. Is it the position of the people of the Sunnah with regard to sinful Muslims to give up hope on them, write them off, and to tell them to give up hope as well? Is that the position of the people of the Sunnah with regard to sinful Muslims? That we write them off and we tell them, you know, you've lost, basically there's no point, you're in the fire, give up hope. Is that the position of the people of the Sunnah? And just as brother said, just briefly, no, that is not the position of the people of the Sunnah, not at all. That is the position of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, those who take the texts of the threats and they just apply them upon the people and just stick to that. Rather, the people of the Sunnah, they ask forgiveness for the sinful Muslims. They ask forgiveness for them and hope for good for them, hope that Allah will grant them repentance and make dua for them. There's also a point towards the end with regard to fear and hope. That should a person be upon fear or upon hope? Walaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And it was mentioned that a person, a believer, should be upon three affairs in his worship of Allah. He should be upon three affairs. What were the three affairs that a person should be upon in his worship and with regard to his worship of his Lord? Hope, he should be upon hope, and fear, and love. All three of those together. And we had the explanation of the Shaykh, that a person who worships Allah upon hope alone, then what is the case of a person who worships Allah just upon hope? Not having fear, not upon love, just hoping in Allah, hoping in having hope alone. What is a person like that? Yeah. As a person like the people of the Murji'a. What about a person who worships Allah just upon fear? He worships Allah just because he's afraid of Allah and afraid of the fire, so therefore he worships Allah. Not having hope in Allah and not out of love of Allah. Just upon pure fear. Yeah. That's the, like a person of the Khawarij. And one who worships Allah not upon hope or fear, but rather he says, I just worship Allah upon love. I don't have any hope from Allah. I don't worship Allah hoping to get reward for my worship. And I don't do it fearing the fire. I worship Allah purely and solely because I have love for Allah. What is that person? Sufi. Yeah. That person, as the Sheikh mentioned, a person like that is a Sufi. That's the position of a person who is like the Sufis. As rather, the Anbiya, the prophets of Allah, were, as we mentioned in the couple of ayahs, that they worship Allah, gathering between fear and hope. Then with regard to the point that we reached, then we reached point number 137. وَلَا يَخْرُجُ الْعَبْدُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا بِجُحُودِ مَا أَدْخَلَهُ فِيهِ. And the servant does not exit from Iman except by denying that which entered him into it. And the servant does not exit from Iman except by denying that which entered him into it. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, an objection is to be made to this speech. I mean, this speech here is not totally correct. An objection is to be made to this speech. Since restricting unbelief to juhud, restricting unbelief to be only denial, this is the position of the murji'ah. In this statement, in point number 137, as it stands there, without restriction, is not a correct statement. The servant does not exit from Iman except by denying that which entered him into it. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, an objection is to be made to this speech, since restricting unbelief to being only denial, this is the position of the murji'ah. Then he said, whereas the Nawaqidul Islam, those things which nullify a person's Islam, are many. I mean, not just denial. There are many other things which nullify a person's Islam, take a person out of Islam. From them, and then he mentioned some examples, from them are al-juhud, what was mentioned in the point, no doubt. Denial is something which does take a person outside Islam, but it's not the only thing. He said, and from them is committing shirk with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And from them is al-istihza, mocking the religion or anything from it, even if he doesn't deny it. In making fun of any part of Islam, mocking it, even if the person says, but I don't deny it, I'm just having a joke. So mocking anything from mocking Islam, mocking the religion of Islam, or anything from it, even if the person doesn't deny it. And there are many things which nullify it. The scholars and the jurists have mentioned them in the chapters of Ridda, of apostasy. Obviously, in the books of fiqh and the like, and the scholars, they mention a chapter of apostasy. Those things which make a person an apostate if he does them. Those things which take a person out of Islam. So he said, the scholars mention these things, which are many, which take a person outside Islam. And then he said, and from them is deeming the forbidden to be permissible, and deeming the permissible to be forbidden. I mean, that which Allah has made forbidden, holding that and declaring that and thinking that is the opposite. Thinking that which Allah has made forbidden is allowed for me. Or thinking that which is allowed, Allah has allowed, is forbidden. That takes a person outside of Islam as well. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned 10 from them. He mentioned in his famous book, Nawaqidul Islam, those things which break a person's Islam, he mentioned 10 affairs which break a person's Islam, which take a person out of Islam. And they are the most important. And it's not limited to 10. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Abdul Wahhab just wrote the book highlighting the 10 most important things that takes a person, if he does them, out of Islam. And he said, however, the nawaqid, those things which break a person's Islam, are actually many. So restricting those things which break a person's Islam to al-juhud, to denial alone, is a mistake. And what occurs in this, in the main point, in the heading here, point of the text, that nothing takes a servant out of iman except that denying that which brought him into it, this is a mistake. Then he said, and some writers who have a false appearance of knowledge today try to manifest this position to give the people more scope and ease regarding the religion. In some present day writers, they hold this point that's mentioned here, that a person doesn't leave Islam unless he denies Islam or something from it. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, continuing with what they say, so as long as the person doesn't deny, then in their view, he will still be a Muslim. Even if he prostrates, he makes sajda to an idol. If he says, but I don't deny. And he says, I acknowledge Tawheed. Then they say, then it is just a sin from the sins. A person who's a Muslim, he makes sajda to an idol. But he says, if he's questioned about it, he says, but I don't deny Islam. I agree with Tawheed. Then in their view, this person is still a Muslim then. And he's just committed a sin, like any other sin. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, or if he slaughters, he sacrifices to someone other than Allah. Or if he insults and abuses Allah. Or insults and abuses the messenger. Or insults and abuses the religion. Then they say, these people say, this person is still a Muslim. This person is a Muslim because he has not denied. Then this is a grave error. And that's what judgment the people would pass. These people would pass on a person like that. The one who makes a prostration to the idol, one who speaks ill of Allah, abuses Allah, or the messenger, or the religion, or the like, then they say, he's still a Muslim. As long as he doesn't deny Islam, he's still a Muslim. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, and this is a grave error. This ruins the religion totally. So no religion remains with that. So what is obligatory is to beware of this tremendous danger. We should beware of a saying like that. Some people become so lax about Islam that they say a person will remain a Muslim no matter what he does. Even if he abuses Allah, abuses the messenger, speaks ill of the religion, prostrates to idols and the like, as long as he doesn't deny Islam with upon his tongue. Likewise, that's where Sheikh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point. Then there's a note that Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, that he makes at this point as well, with regard to the main line, and the servant does not exit from iman except by denying that which brought him into it. He said, Sheikh ibn Baz, rahimahullah, said, this restriction is not correct. And then he goes on to explain what brings a person into Islam. What is it that brings a person into Islam to begin with? He said, because the unbeliever enters into Islam by the shahadatain, by the two shahadas. If he is a person who did not say them from before. And if he was a person who used to say the two shahadas. I mean, he used to be a Muslim, but then he became an apostate. Then he enters into Islam by repenting that which made him become an unbeliever. In other words, there's two ways in which a person comes into Islam. The person who is a kafir outright, he wasn't a Muslim before, he enters into Islam by saying the shahada, the two shahadas. That enters him into Islam. That's what enters him into Islam. And as for a person who used to be a Muslim, and then he became an apostate, he did something that made him a kafir, then he comes back into Islam by repenting from that which took him out of it. Then the Sheikh said, whereas, so that's what brings a person into Islam. And he said, whereas a person may exit from Islam by other than denial. He may leave Islam because of many reasons, which the people have of knowledge have explained in the chapters on the ruling of the apostate. And from that, from those things which will take a person outside Islam, from that is speaking ill of Islam, speaking badly about Islam, or about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, or mocking Allah and His Messenger and His book, or anything that Allah the Perfect has legislated, mocking anything which Allah has legislated. And then he gives an evidence for that, that mocking any of that takes a person out of Islam. He said, because of his saying, He the Perfect, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Surah Tawbah, the ninth surah, ayah 65-66, with the explanation, say, is it at Allah and His signs and His messenger that you were mocking? Do not make any excuse. You have become unbelievers after your iman. So that's an evidence that mocking Allah or His messenger or the religion on Allah's signs takes a person out of Islam, that ayah, those two ayahs. Then Sheikh bin Baz said, and from that, meaning from those things which take a person out of Islam, above and beyond denying, is worshipping idols or worshipping objects which are worshipped, or calling upon the dead and seeking rescue from them and requesting things from them and asking for aid from them and the like of that. Because all of this nullifies the saying, La ilaha illallah. Doing these things, it nullifies the saying that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Since the shahada, La ilaha illallah, indicates that the right, that worship is the right of Allah alone. And then he mentions further things. He said, the further things that take a person out of Islam, he said, and from them is making dua, calling upon, and seeking aid, and making ruku, and making sajda. Or rather, he mentions examples. First, he mentions these examples of worship. From worship is dua, supplication, and requesting rescue, and making ruku, and performing sajda, and sacrificing, and making vows, and the like. So whoever directs anything from these things to other than Allah, whether to idols or objects or angels or jinn or people in the graves and so on, from the created beings, then he has committed shirk along with Allah. And he has not established the saying, La ilaha illallah. He has not established the saying that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. So all of these affairs take a person out of Islam by ijma', by consensus of the people of knowledge. And these are not matters of denial. And these are not denial of Islam. These are separate affairs which take a person out of Islam. And their evidences are well known from the book and the sunnah. And there are many other matters by which a Muslim can become an unbeliever. And they are not called juhud, denial. And the scholars have mentioned them in the chapters of the ruling of the apostate. So refer back to that if you wish, and Allah is the one who grants success. And with regard to the next point, point number 138, then At-Tahawi rahimahullah said, "Wal imanu huwa al-iqraru bil lisan wa tasdiqu bil janan." And iman, true faith, is to affirm with the tongue and to believe with the heart. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, commenting upon this point, he said, "This is the definition of the murji'ah. This is the definition of the murji'ah. They restrict iman to being affirmation upon the tongue and belief in the heart." So this definition, as it stands, is not correct. And he said, "So the true saying is, أن الإيمان قول باللسان واعتقاد بالقلب وعمل بالجوارح." The correct saying, the true saying about iman is that iman is speech of the tongue and belief of the heart and action of the limbs. So actions enter within the reality of iman. That's the thing that was left out of the definition here, and it's left out by the murji'ah. So actions enter within the reality of iman, and they are not something extra and additional to iman. So whoever restricts himself to speech upon the tongue and belief in the heart without action, then he is not from the people of correct iman. So iman, as the scholars have said, is qawlun bil lisan wa tasdiqun bil janan wa amalun bil jawarih yazidu bit ta'a wa yanqusu bil isyan. So he said, so iman, as the scholars have defined it, and he gives a definition, iman is speech of the tongue and belief of the heart and action of the limbs. It increases through obedience, and it decreases through disobedience. I mean, it increases through acts of obedience to Allah, and it decreases through sins. Then he gives evidence of that, especially he gives evidence for the last part, that iman increases and decreases. He said, Allah the Most High, he said, He the Most High said, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah, ayah 2. In description of the believers, the people of Iman, with the explanation, and when Allah's ayahs are recited to them, it increases them in Iman, and they have reliance upon their Lord. So that ayah mentions increase of Iman for the believers. They're already believers, they already have iman, and yet the ayah mentions that their iman increases when Allah's ayahs are recited to them. They already have iman, then when Allah's ayahs are recited to them, their iman that they already have increases. And he gives the second evidence, he said, and he said, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th surah, ayah 124. With the explanation, so as for those who have iman, as for the believers, then it increased them in iman. So it's the second ayah which proves that iman increases. The ayah is about the believers, those who have iman, and then their iman increases. And then the third ayah that he quotes, he said, and he said, وَيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا. Surah Al-Muddathir, the 74th surah, ayah 31. With the explanation, so that the believers may increase in iman. So that those who have iman, the believers, may increase in iman. Again, a proof that iman increases. Sheikh Fawzan said, these ayahs prove that iman increases and decreases. Obviously, as a side point, as some of the salaf said, commenting upon these ayahs, whatever is open to increase is automatically open to decrease. I mean, it can increase or not increase. And if it increases, then the iman of somebody which doesn't increase is less than the iman of the person who has increased. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, just as occurs in his saying, alayhi salatu wassalam, man ra'a minkum munkaran, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And gives a hadith that proves the same point, that iman increases and decreases. He said, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever amongst you sees an evil, then let him correct it with his hand. And if he is not able, then with his tongue. And if he is not able, then with his heart. And that is the weakest of iman. In a footnote, they mention this is reported by Muslim. A Muslim reports it in the book of Iman, in his Sahih, in the book of Iman, from a hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anh. Sheikh Fawzan said, so this shows that iman decreases. This proves that iman decreases. Obviously, the third, if a person sees an evil, he should correct it with his hand if he's able. If not, with his tongue. And if not, they should hate it with his heart. And that will be the weakest of iman. I mean, less iman. Then the Sheikh said, and in a narration of this hadith is the wording, وَلَيْسَ وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ حَبَّةُ خَرْدَلْ. And there is not beyond that even a mustard seed of iman. I mean, beyond hating the evil with the heart, beyond that, there is not even a mustard seed of iman. This hadith is reported by a Muslim as the next hadith after the previous one, a narration of the previous hadith. And it's narrated by a Muslim from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Fawzan said, so it shows that iman decreases to the extent that it can be of the weight of a mustard seed only, a tiny mustard seed. And then he gives another evidence. He said, as occurs in the authentic hadith, أَخْرِجُوا مِنَ النَّارِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ أَدْنَى أَدْنَى مِثْقَالِ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take out, quoting a part of a hadith of intercession, that it will be said on the day of resurrection, take out from the fire whoever has the weight of the slightest mustard seed of iman. This hadith being reported, as they say, by Al-Bukhari as hadith 7510 and by Muslim. And it's the long hadith of shafa'ah, of intercession, from a hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, so iman is speech of the tongue, and belief of the heart, and action of the limbs. It increases through obedience and decreases through sin. This is the correct definition taken from the book and the sunnah. And then he mentions some wrong definitions of iman and the people who hold them. He said, iman is not, as the Hanafis say, قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ وَاَتِقَادٌ بِالْجَنَانِ. It is not just speech of the tongue and belief of the heart only. And it is not, as the Karamiya say, قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ فَقَطْ. Iman is not just speech of the tongue alone. Then he said the third one, and it is not as the Ash'a'ira say, it is not as the Ash'aris say, that it is اِعْتِقَادٌ بِالْقَلْبِ alone. They say it is just belief of the heart. The Ash'aris say iman is just belief of the heart alone. Then he said, mentioning the last case, And it is not as the Jahmiyyah say, هو المعرفة بالقلب. It is not as the Jahmiyyah say, they say, it is just having awareness in the heart. Having knowledge or awareness within the heart alone. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the Murji'ah are of four groups. In these four groups that we just heard are four groups of the Murji'ah. He said, so the Murji'ah are of four groups. The furthest away are the Jahmiyyah. Those who say that Iman is just having knowledge in the heart, having awareness of Allah and knowledge of Allah in the heart. He said, the furthest away are the Jahmiyyah. So upon their saying, then Fir'aun would be a believer. Because he is one having awareness. Fir'aun has awareness of Allah. He knows Allah exists. And Iblis would be a believer. Because he knows in his heart. I mean, that's an evil result of the saying of the Jahmiyyah. On their saying, Iblis would be a believer. And Fir'aun would be a believer. And so on. And he said, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and upon the saying of the Ash'aris, that belief, that Iman is just belief in the heart. Then Abu Lahab and Abu Talib and Abu Jahl and the rest of the mushriks would be believers. Because they were certain in their hearts and they believed. In their hearts they believed. They believed in the truth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their hearts. However, pride and envy prevented them from following him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, the Jews were aware in their hearts that he was indeed the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were aware of that in their hearts. However, envy and pride prevented them. Then the Shaykh Fawzan quotes two ayahs. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 146, with the explanation, those to whom we gave the book, the people of the book, they recognize him, they recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as they recognize their own sons. I mean, they recognize the truth of him. They recognize him. That he was written in their books before. He said, and he said with regard to the mushrikun, he said with regard to the mushriks, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. Surah Al-An'am, the sixth surah, ayah 33. The explanation of, in the context of an address from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the explanation, and we know that what they say, what the people of Shirk say, grieves you, but they do not believe that you are a liar. Rather, it is that the wrongdoers outwardly reject the signs of Allah. Yajhadun, they outwardly reject Allah's signs, but inwardly they know them to be true. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the saying, La yukadhibunaka, they don't believe you to be a liar, means they actually believe you to be telling the truth. I mean, this was the position of the people of Shirk in Mecca. They knew in their hearts that he was telling the truth. Then he said, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and Abu Talib said, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib said, and he quotes two lines of poetry, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حَذَارِ مَسَبَّةٍ لَرَأَيْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. He said, even Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and I know, I have knowledge, I know that the religion of Muhammad is from the best religions of mankind in religion. And if it were not for being blamed or for fear of being spoken ill of, you would have seen me clearly embracing that. He knew in his heart that it was the truth. But that didn't make him a believer. It didn't make the rest of the mushriks of Quraysh believers. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of that point. Then just finally, to quote what Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, mentions on this point, that iman is affirmation of the tongue and belief of the heart. Then Shaykh al-Albani said in his small notes, he said, again correcting this point, he said, this is the position of the Hanafis and the Maturidis, contrary to the Salaf and the vast majority of the Imams, such as Malik and Ash-Shafi'i and Ahmad and Al-Awza'i and others. Because they added to affirmation and belief al-amal bil-arkan. In the Imams of the Salaf, when they defined what iman is, they didn't just say it's speech of the tongue and belief of the heart, they added, and actions of the limbs. And Shaykh al-Albani said, and the disagreement between these two positions is not just a superficial or outward difference, as is mentioned by the explainer, rahimahullahu ta'ala. In Ibn Abil Izz, in his explanation of Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, he said the difference between what the Salaf were upon and what the Hanafis and the Maturidis, the difference with regard to our actions within Iman or outside, he said it's just a superficial difference. It's not a true inward difference. It's just superficial outward. So Shaykh al-Bani is saying, no, that's not correct. It's a true and real difference that makes a real difference. He said, he used as evidence for that, that they all agree that a person who commits major sin does not leave Iman, and that he is under Allah's will. If Allah wills, he punishes him, and if he wills, he will pardon him. Because this agreement, even though it is correct, then the Hanafis, if they are not actually differing with the great majority, with a true differing, when they deny that actions are from Iman, then they would agree with them that Iman increases and decreases, and that it increases through obedience and it decreases through sin. I mean, if the Hanafis, if there was no true difference, if it was only a superficial difference, and in reality they're really in agreement, the Hanafis and Maturidis are really in agreement with the Salaf, then if that were the case, then when it came to the matter of Iman increasing and decreasing, they would agree with the Salaf in that. But they don't. They don't agree with the Salaf in that, because there's a real difference about actions being from Iman. They do truly disagree about that. Therefore, they say that Iman doesn't increase and it doesn't decrease. Then Shaykh al-Bani said, even though there are many evidences in the book and the Sunnah and in the narrations of the Salaf which prove that Iman increases and decreases, and the explainer mentioned a number of them, however, the Hanafis persisted upon saying something opposite to that, contrary to those clear proofs that Iman increases and decreases. And they go beyond bounds very clearly in twisting these texts. I mean, wherever there's a mention of Iman increasing or decreasing, they explain it with a far-fetched explanation. And the explainer, Ibn Abil Izz, mentioned a good amount of that. Indeed, he mentioned from Abu al-Mu'in al-Nasafi that he even accused the authenticity of the hadith, al-Iman bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. I mean, one of the famous evidences that the scholars quote as a proof that Iman is of different branches, increases and decreases, is the hadith that Iman is of 70 and odd branches. So one of these people who deny that Iman increase and decreases, all he could find to do was to say this hadith is not authentic. To say it's not authentic. Despite the fact that the Imams of hadith use it as evidence, from them Al-Bukhari and Muslim in their two sahihs. And I've mentioned this hadith in my book as sahiha, as hadith 1769. It's in Bukhari, it's in Muslim. Imams of Hadith have accepted it. But this person here, because he won't accept that Iman increases and decreases, he says this Hadith is not authentic. Sheikh Albani said, and that is not except a case. I mean, he only says it's not authentic because it clearly goes against their position. Then Sheikh Albani said, and then how can it be correct that the difference is just superficial? I mean, the difference between the Salaf and the Hanafis and Maturidis about actions being from Iman. How can it be just superficial when they permit the most sinful individual from them to make a statement and say, my Iman is like the Iman of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The Hanafis and Maturidis say it's permissible that a person can say, when he's the most wicked of people, committing the most number of sins, they say it's permissible for him to say, my Iman is like the Iman of Abu Bakr and Jibreel. Indeed, like the Iman of the Prophets and the Messengers and Jibreel and Mikael, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. How can it be said that therefore the difference is just superficial? And how can it be so when built upon their position, they do not allow... Or rather, he said, they do not allow an individual, even if he is a great wicked person and great sinner, they don't allow him to say, I am a believer, insha'Allah. I say, you still can't say that. No matter how evil he is, how many sins he commits, they say, he still can't say, I'm a believer if Allah wills. Ana mu'minun, insha'Allah ta'ala. They say, rather, he must say, Ana mu'minun haqqan. I am a true believer. I'm a certain believer. That's what the Hanafis and Maturidis say. The wicked, most wicked individual who commits the most number of sins, he can't make any exception about his iman. He must say, I am a true and certain believer. Sheikh Albani finished by saying, whereas Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّةً. So that's what they say, the Hanafis and Maturidis say, the person who commits the most number of sins, the most wicked individual, he has to say about himself that I am a true and certain believer. He says, whereas Allah the Most High said in Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th Surah, Ayahs 2 to 4, with the explanation, the believers are only those who, when Allah's ayahs are mentioned, or rather, the believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, then their hearts tremble. And when His signs or His ayahs are recited to them, then it increases them in iman, and they have reliance upon their Lord. They are those who establish the prayer, and they spend from that which we have provided them with. They are the true believers. They are the true believers. And then he quotes the ayah, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, Ayah 22, with the explanation, and who is truer than Allah in speech? Then Sheikh Albani said, and based upon that, meaning the Hanafis and Maturidis, based upon their false saying, based upon it, they are so excessive in blind partisanship that they say that whoever makes an exception with regard to his iman, whoever says, I'm a believer if Allah wills, they say he is an unbeliever. They say he has committed unbelief. And they make, as a detail of this, that it is not permissible for a Hanafi to marry a woman from the Shafi'is. That's what they said, some of the Hanafis, they say, because the Shafi'is say, I'm a believer if Allah wills, they make an exception. So the Hanafis say about that, that they are unbelievers because of it. He said, and some of them make an allowance, as they claim, and they permit that. They permit a Hanafi man to marry a Shafi'i woman, but not the other way round. They don't allow a Hanafi woman to marry a Shafi'i man. He said, they make a permission and say, the Hanafi man is allowed some of them, he's allowed to marry a Shafi'i woman, and they give an excuse by saying, we'll treat her, the Shafi'i woman, like we treat the people of the book. I mean, they're committed on belief, but we'll treat them like the people of the book. So some of them say a Hanafi man is allowed to marry a Shafi'i woman because we can treat them like the people of the book. And I know an individual from the sheikhs of the Hanafis, a man from the sheikhs of the Shafi'is, asked to marry his daughter. So he refused and said, if only you were not a Shafi'i. Because of the same thing, because they regard the Shafi'is as being doubters, they say. Doubters about their iman. So Sheikh Albani said, so is there anything after this? Is there any room for any doubt that the difference is a true and real difference? And whoever wishes to see further about this affair, let him go back to the book of Sheikh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Iman. Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's book, Al-Iman. Because it is the best book which has been authored on the topic. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? As Sheikh bin Baz, rahmahullah, indicated in his point, there are two ways for a person to come into Islam. One is a person who's an unbeliever. He comes into Islam by saying the Shahada. Obviously, saying the Shahada, knowing what it means, he enters into Islam. As for a person who apostated, he was a Muslim, but then he left Islam because of some reason. He did something which takes a person out of Islam. Then he comes back by repenting from that which took him out of Islam. He repents from that which took him out. Yeah, obviously, and saying the Shahada. The increase and decrease. So the increase, as far as he held, the increase and decreases. But he was saying, but the difference is just a superficial difference. He tried to make it the difference between the Hanafis and the Salaf in this matter. It's not a true and real difference that the Hanafis say actions are outside Iman, but then they're agreed with the Salaf that a person who commits major sin, so on. As for a person who is upon major sin, then they agree with the Salaf about his ruling. Sheikh Albani said, no, it's a true difference that they've got. Allahu a'lam. Allahu a'lam. No, not Ibn Abi Lais, no. He mentions evidences of the increase and decrease of Iman, yeah. Yeah, the like of these questions, then ask them for the people of knowledge, inshallah, as we make clear. Then what I do here, I translate what occurs in the book, Aqidah Tahawiyah, the text, with the explanation of Sheikh al-Fawzan. Then I translate that as best I can, and I add points from the notes of Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Mani', Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, and Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahumullah. And then I'll, beyond that, ask the people of knowledge to get a better understanding. Sheikh Albani mentioned one book you can refer to is the book of Iman of Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. So with regard to the question here about a person who has no actions of the limbs, and the correct meaning with regard to taking out of the fire one who has only a mustard seed of Iman, then ask these questions to people of knowledge. Ask them people of knowledge. These things have already actually been answered by some of the people of knowledge, but ask the questions like this to people of knowledge. No.
Abu Lahab.
Abu Talib. Abu Talib. Yes. With regard to the statement of Abu Talib, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا لولا الملامة أو حذار مسبة لرأيتني سمحا بذاك مبينا. And it can be translated something like, and I know that the religion of Muhammad is from the best of the religions of mankind. And if it were not for being blamed and for fear of being spoken badly about, you would have seen me clearly embracing that. In his heart, he knew that it was the truth, as did the rest of them as well. In their hearts, they knew it was true. But that didn't make them believers. It didn't make them people of paradise, rather the people of the fire. Whereas on the definition of the Ash'a'ira, the Ash'aris, they would have been believers. Because they define iman to be tasdiq, tasdiq bil qalb, belief, affirmation of the heart. And they had that. But it did not make them mu'minun.
From the things I don't find amongst Islam, there are two chapters, one that requires proof to be established upon him, and the other one that doesn't. Is that correct? For example, the one that doesn't require proof, if you fight the messenger or if you urinate on the Quran, these things don't require proof. Is that correct?
Yeah, with regard to the things that take a person outside Islam, and the scholars make some difference between things which may be hidden from people. People might not know about them. So I said, there is an area where proof needs to be established. It needs to be established to that person. Look, this is something which takes a person out of Islam. What you've done there, it takes a person out of Islam. Whereas they make clear that there are other things which are so open and clear, openly fighting against or killing a prophet, fighting against a prophet, openly, disrespecting and dishonoring the Quran deliberately. And they say things like that. They're open and clear. Anybody would know that this takes a person out of Islam. If a person did it, willingly, knowing what he's doing, then it would take him straight out of Islam. Allahu a'lam. You wouldn't need to go up to the person and say, do you understand that fighting against, trying to kill a prophet and fighting against him, did you understand when you were doing that, did you understand it takes you out of Islam? Or you got the Quran and you found a filthy place and you deliberately put it in there. Nobody forced you to or anything. You did that. Did you understand that takes you out of Islam? You wouldn't need to do that.
And the application to creed, you refer back to people in knowledge.
The people, obviously, that's what they say about the action itself, is clear kufr, clear unbelief. But beyond, as for actual individual case where something happened, where there may be, things connected to it, the person may have madness or may have jinn or something else, then obviously you get in touch with the people of knowledge before, beyond that, Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.